This is the morning brief from the Economic Times.
This episode contains sexual content and language. Listener's discretion is advised.
Did you know that 81% of women are not happy with their sex lives? And 73% do not reach orgasm. These are the results of a survey, and they indeed sound strange coming from the land of the Kama Sutra and the Khajuraho. In our society, men expressing and indulging in their sexual pleasure has always been considered normal, be it with a partner or self-pleasuring. The booming porn industry is evidence of that. But when it comes to women, the same thing becomes a matter of morality and character and comes attached with guilt and shame. Well, we live in a society where menstruation or periods still remains a hush-hush issue. So it's not surprising that sexual pleasures remain a taboo.
For the longest time, we've believed that our bodies and our pleasure are property of somebody else.
The minute someone talks about sex, it is compared to their morale, which is a shame, and I think that is why it is tabooed.
But it's always about this one thing about ki vagina ke andar kya jayega, wo hum control karenge.
The survey states that there is a pleasure gap also existing.
I think with self-pleasure or anything for self, I think we have a lot of guilt associated with that culturally.
Men particularly are really threatened by the idea of a woman using a pleasure product.
So there is a clear gender pleasure gap. But despite the taboo, globally, women are the drivers of the pleasure products market. But in India, they are largely silent spectators. This gender gap in seeking pleasure is in some way being filled by the discreetness and convenience offered by the online world. Sexual pleasure products get sold, and a host of influencers are demystifying sex for all and sundry. One such company which is leading the way to fill this gap is TTK Healthcare.
Pre-independence, TTK pioneered sexual wellness category. In fact, in 1940, TTK started importing condoms in India. We are into this sexual wellness market. We thought we'll move into D2C segment with our own category, the pleasure product category or pleasure sexual wellness category. And right now we are seeing Love Depot launch in India.
That's Vishal Vyas, head of marketing at TTK Healthcare, a listed company from Chennai that has launched a sexual pleasure online superstore called Love Depot. It's Friday, 8th of July. From the Economic Times, I'm your host, Kiran Somvanshi. And you are listening to Bridging India's Gender Pleasure Gap on The Morning Brief. In this episode, we discuss the sexual pleasure gap that exists between men and women and how it is slowly and steadily being narrowed. The narrative around self-pleasure, especially women's pleasure, evolve over the years, from not speaking about it in the open to now seeking support online.
It started, interestingly, with women in their 40s, a lot of them who were either in sort of really bad marriages or just where the sex side of it has become dead. So a lot of them were writing in, or women who were now single, who'd been married, who are now divorced, and were facing these issues from family, from society about, now you shouldn't be thinking about this. Oh, you have children? Now why are you thinking about sex? You've been married for so long, how dare you think about sex now? That kind of thing, because we still have all of these boxes that we're put into. That is where we started. It's now actually gone across the board. So there's a huge diversity. I'm fascinated by the age groups, because a lot of them will mention what age they are. I'm also fascinated to see that it's not just from the metropolitan cities. It's from a lot of small towns. There are people writing in Hindi, in Punjabi, because that's their main language. I have women of my age, I'm 60, who've said, I really wanted to explore something, but I can't put anything inside me. I've had women of 40 saying the same thing to me. I still get questions from people saying, is it a sin? is it a guilty thing to do? I had this one young girl write to me, and I thought it was such a sweet question. She said, is it really bad to kiss somebody before I'm married? Because I really love God. So she was trying to tell me that, like, she feels guilty about it, but is it still okay to do it? Because that's what your desires are asking you to do. And they're the most natural desires in the world.
That was Seema Anand, a leading influencer and sexual educator, providing a glimpse of the kind of queries that women write to her. We also have Dr. Nivedita Manokaran, a clinician in sexual and reproductive health, highlighting how women have prioritized male pleasure for too long a time.
We are starting only now to talk about sex as recreation and not really as procreation, because I think male reproductive system or female reproductive system that is taught in school, it's all about the sex organ is always connected to a reproductive thought. It's never connected to a recreational thought. But most of the time, sex is recreational than procreational, to be honest. So I think that is very basic. And I think we are only just hitting the basics with the Indian population, where we are starting to talk that sex is not for procreation, but more for recreation. So I think that's a good beginning. That's a good start. And we have a long way to actually go and start talking about female pleasure, because we're still working on it. But I still feel that there's only a very small amount of people who are actually even volunteering or wanting to talk about those things. Unfortunately, I feel like we are in a patriarchal society, and women play a big role, I feel, part of that patriarchal society, because we keep on encouraging patriarchy. We keep, in a way, we grow it in many aspects we don't realize, but culturally we are just designed to do that as well. And one of that is prioritizing male pleasure and not so much prioritizing female pleasure is again one of it. It's okay if I didn't come. It's okay. As far as you came, that's fine. Let's just go to sleep, kind of an attitude and things like that. It's still very prevalent and very common, very, very common. So I think we have a long way.
Now, businesses are steadily waking up to address this gender gap in pleasure by launching variety of passion products. These come in all kinds, like sex toys, vibrators, lubricants, contraceptives, sprays, and many more. There are now dedicated retail websites for these products, for example, MyMuse, IMBeshram, that ensure discreet packaging and home delivery and even customized pickups. In fact, it's a billion-dollar industry. According to global market research firm Allied Market Research, the Indian sexual wellness market generated over $1 billion in 2020 and is expected to double its size in 10 years. The online retail platform is a major driver of the growth of this market, with sex toys being the most popular segment. Now with TTK Healthcare venturing into this online space, the company's investors have cheered this move. TTK's stock jumped 5% on the launch of Love Depot. But what prompted TTK Healthcare to tap this space?
One of the research we did on 2,000 people, one thing came out is like 81% women are not satisfied with the sex life. 73% doesn't reach orgasm. So on one hand, we know that there is a gap. And on the other hand, there is a definite willingness to try products. So when we merge this together, we realize that there is a need for this such type of products. And it's not one product. There are many products which are available in the market, which Indian consumers are not exposed to. Second thing which triggered this Love Depot is the growth of online purchase and online buying and the D2 segment in India, especially during Corona and post-Corona period. Earlier, there was always a restriction in terms of offline distribution for this product, that how many outlets will hold this and all. But coming to online, that thing is kind of eased out a bit for us. So online distribution channel has given us that confidence that this is time now for us to launch an initiative.
The growing popularity of passion products is clearly a sign of changing social trends.
Right in the beginning, when I first started many, many years ago, the questions used to mostly come from men. And that shift has happened where now I get a lot of messages from women as well. The questions that used to come from men and are mostly still the same, 90% are still the same. They're one-liners. How can I grow my penis size? Is it okay to masturbate? I masturbate 4 times a day. Is that okay? I come too quickly. How can I stop that? It's literally one-liners. The questions that come from women are really long, and they kind of explain and describe all the emotional angle around it. And they'll sort of go into the background of why they feel a certain way. And I think that that's really interesting, because gradually, this is the one thing I've been trying to say forever, is that particularly for women, I think for men and women both, but particularly for women, pleasure, intimacy, desire, arousal is an emotional thing. It's not just physical. When I was growing up, that's what I was told. Fast girls enjoy sex. So even if you're with your husband, if you're actually enjoying it, oh, well, that's not what good girls do. And if you don't enjoy it, and if you sort of say, I'm not aroused enough, you are being hysterical. So every time a woman got emotional about her pleasure, it was seen as a bad thing. And even men were taught that, okay, it's a physical thing, enjoy it, get it out of the way, which is why a lot of men weren't taught how to pleasure a woman or how to really enjoy it or take the pleasure that the refinement and the elegance that we're talking about, what that kind of offers us. So it's kind of become a particular type of aggressive, violent, dirty act from the way that the words around it, the descriptions around it have been. And I think that that is changing in the way that the questions come in. So definitely there's been a switch, there's been a change. There's still a lot of guilt involved, because a lot of people writing in to me are saying, particularly women now, are saying, I feel like this. Is it okay for me to feel like this? I want to do this. Is this a bad thing for me to do? So definitely a shift, definitely evolved into women coming out more and finding the guts to talk about it. And I think it's coming from the younger generation who are actually, this is a generation that's coming up that's going to be financially independent. They're more emotionally aware of themselves and aware of what is okay for them to have. And rather than being told, this is not for you, or ye tumhare liye nahi hai, this is actually for your husband to decide. Or for the longest time, we've believed that our bodies and our pleasure are property of somebody else. And I think that the younger generation that's coming in are actually going to be changing that narrative, and it will gradually change. So definitely, I can see the shift. Whether it's enough of a shift, I don't think so yet.
There are some overt changes that Vishal has observed from being on the business side of it.
One thing we found out is the way people are talking about sex. Now people are very comfortable, especially young people. They feel that this is basically a biological need and it's nothing to shy about or be coy about it. And our aim also here, as far as Love Depot concerned, overall as a company, is that we need to normalize the whole conversation here. We've seen that people are kind of online buying, people are talking about it. Also, there are outlets where people are buying offline outlets, maybe some 10 years back, if you go back 10 years back, even buying condom was kind of a big deal at the retail outlet. There is a desire for pleasure among both gender and equally. It's only thing that is always neglected or not kind of, you know, talked about or not kind of come in open, or people kind of didn't want to reveal it. And there is a growing awareness among both the segment about the need of a female partner. I think it's going to grow up. We have seen examples in outlets now that even for condoms, women are coming and asking for it, which is a refreshing change.
So what actually sells? From the first 4-5 days of sales data of Love Depot, Vishal tells us that most of the products sold were female-oriented ones. And Mumbai, Bangalore and Pune ruled the top slots. I asked him if this is in line with the trend globally.
If you see overall the global level, the maximum product which gets sold are vibrators, which is basically towards female pleasure. Globally, I think this is driven by women, actually. The whole online purchase and this pleasure product category driven by women, that is one factor. Second is a little matured when it comes to overall pleasure product purchase, and 30 plus is where maximum sale happens, 32, 40, 45 kind of thing.
While these products are getting popular, what about precautions being taken to ensure their safe use? Since it is an online space, there are hardly any checks on whether someone who is buying the product is above 18 years or not. Branded products come with their information booklets, but safety is still largely a gray area. Seema narrates one of her own experiences.
2 years ago, just before lockdown, I purchased something called a liquid vibrator. It's just got a bit of gel and you put it on different parts of your body and it just makes it buzz a lot. So it's like having peppermint almost. And I thought, okay, this is really exciting. I have to try this. So I did buy it. But somewhere on the packaging, it also says not for internal use. And so you sit over there thinking, I don't know, am I supposed to be doing this or am I not? So there's still a lot of worry, I feel, around these products. And we have to be really careful.
Dr. Nivedita highlights the safety issues and the do's and the don'ts.
If you're buying really cheap stuff, plasticky stuff, you're not getting it from a good branded place, you haven't read the reviews, then yes, there is a risk of it being not so authentically done, causing you allergic reactions and rashes. They could break inside if they are really cheap, battery life not lasting, short circuiting. So there could be a lot of things if you're trying to buy cheaper product from a non-reviewed, not a good brand kind of thing. And I think always investigate before you buy a particular product. Look at the reviews. Look at the price. And, you know, when I say that, sometimes people think, oh, then should I buy something that's overly expensive? And again, I always tell people when it comes to passion products, start with something small sized. Start with something very little, knowing that what is your pleasure area. You don't necessarily have to go something that looks gigantic. And the last thing about products is its cleanliness. It's very important that you keep them clean. You have a way to clean these products, dry them and store them. And very importantly, when I talk about toys and relationships and self-pleasuring, people always misunderstand, I think, educators or influencers telling them that we don't need partnership or we don't need the intimacy and toys are enough. It's not that. It's not true. I don't think a toy can ever, ever replace the warmth of a human body or the warmth of intimacy or the warmth or the pleasure that an intimate lovemaking will and can bring. So a toy is not a replacement for real love or real connection or real intimacy.
Well, that really is the bottom line. But I'm curious, as a land of Kama Sutra, were there any pleasure products or aids being used back in the day? Or is this more of a modern day invention for us?
There was a lot of pleasure products back in the day. The Kama Sutra talks about it, different types of dildos, different types of sexual pleasure aids. There was so much over there because pleasure back in, at least in the time of the Kama Sutra, is not considered a bad thing. That doesn't mean that all of society thought it was wonderful. There was a parallel strand of society, even at that point, that didn't think that pleasure was a good thing, that didn't think that women should be having pleasure. But then you have the Kama Sutra at the same time, which, of course, describes pleasure as a wonderful thing. And even the Arthashastra actually has several chapters on the courtesans and on the importance of the courtesans. And as you probably know, the courtesans in the time of the Arthashastra, the sex trade was legalized. So they all came under one particular minister that regulated the laws around courtesans, and they got a lot of taxation from them. So it was a hugely profitable thing for them to legalize, and I thought that was very clever. But no, we had a lot of pleasure aids. My favorite of them was this little thing that was done for women. It was two little silver ghugrus, so two little tiny silver balls. One of them would have a drop of mercury in it, and the other one was Kali. And they were attached to a little piece of ribbon or string, and the woman would insert it inside her. And as you walked around doing your housework and doing other things, the mercury would heat up and then it would start to vibrate. And the reason for the other one was because then it would knock against the other one and make a slight tinkling sound. And apparently that was very pleasant to hear. So it was almost like ghungroos, but on the inside. Now, I just think it sounds amazing. It's a huge history. And not only this, I think this is fascinating. There was a black market in this because these little silver bells, they became so popular that even by the time the East India Company comes in, they've heard about these things. And people are wanting to take these back to the UK. The men from the East India Company are wanting to take these back as souvenirs. And the locals in India realize that they can make a lot of money out of it. So they start to sell bogus bells. And then there is a law brought out. There are a couple of criminal cases around it. This was a huge market. We are told that metallurgy and woodwork was an extremely important. It was one of the Chonsat Kalas, one of the 64 skills of the Kama Sutra. And one of the things that you did with it is that you created pleasure products for your beloved. In ancient China, they had a system as a bridal gift. All young brides were given a replica of their husband's phallus, of their husband's penis. It was a bridal gift because if he was away on a work trip, that she shouldn't have to do without pleasure. But this was a replica of the husband's penis. And at the bottom of it, it would either have his name or they would etch his picture into it or whatever. Unlike today, where a lot of men particularly are really threatened by the idea of a woman using a pleasure product, back in the time of the Kama Sutra, it was considered something that was used by couples to keep their desire fresh and vitalized.
Wow, that's an amazing history of pleasure and sign of a sex-positive society. It seems after a progressive start, our society turned conservative for several centuries and is now again trying to revert to a more progressive mindset. But as Seema points out, there will be resistance as women look at seeking their own pleasure and thereby empowering themselves.
Every time somebody tries to change the narrative, there's a lot of pushback. Because think about it, if women in particular start to find their own pleasure, it's very empowering. You can be an amazing person. You can be really intelligent. You can do really well at work. Somehow, this is the one thing that has always been used to put women down with. The day that women realize, each person, including myself, the day that I realized the enormity and the self-identity of my own pleasure, it was such an empowering day for me. I feel that I changed substantially on that day, the day that it sunk in to me. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm normal in the way that I think. It's okay if I feel I'm not turned on by this. That's okay. I shouldn't be told, yeah, what's wrong with you? This is just a physical act. Why can't you? The usual kind of thing that you're told. The day that I realized that it's okay for me to have the pleasure and the arousal, it's not a bad thing that I'm doing. It's normal. It changed me tremendously. It made me a different person, trust me. And I think a lot of people only realize that on the day that it happens to them or when it actually happens. So you can imagine that if every woman decides to feel that independent, it is going to change the balance of power. And yeah, there's going to be a lot of pushback. It won't happen easily. So yeah, we need to continue this battle.
Gender gaps are all pervasive, and the area of sex and sexual pleasure is not any different. Being a private and sensitive issue, it is one of the last bastions to be revealed in public domain. And just like in all other areas, there is a need to close the gap on this front too. What's required is normalization of the conversation around sex and seeking sexual pleasure. It will prevent people from resorting to self-conceived notions and shady avenues. The new age startups, the social media influencers, and now the mainstream businesses are doing their bit towards normalizing the seeking of pleasure. It is now for the women to recognize their desires and feel normal fulfilling them. You have been listening to Bridging India's Gender Pleasure Gap with me, Kiran Somvanshi, on The Morning Brief. Thank you, Seema, Dr. Nivedita and Vishal for sharing your insights. This episode was produced by Surbhi Modi from The Economic Times and Swati Joshi from Awaaz. Sound editors Rajas Nayak from The Economic Times and Soundarya Jayachandran from Awaaz. Executive producers Anupriya Bahadur and Arijit Barman. We hope you like this episode. Do share it on your social media networks. The Morning Brief drops every Tuesday, Thursday and Friday. Do tune in to ET Play, our latest platform for all audio content, including The Morning Brief. Have a great weekend.